I knew you'd come.
Woo! Man, baby. Want to wrestle?
We've got two words for ya!
Glorious! No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious.
You are listening to Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast with your host, the Supreme Dream, and the Irish Nightmare.
We are here today on Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast with a superstar from Shakara Pro Wrestling here in Northeast Philadelphia.
Or Shakara, where I come from, in the great North Ireland.
Yeah!
Oh, this is going to be a fun show.
This Saturday at Shakara, she will be facing the grand champion and hoping to overcome the odds and become champion as she faces Juan Francisco de Coronado.
That's a tongue twister.
In the title match this Saturday, please welcome Solo Darling to the Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast.
What up? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I mean, we really wanted to get in and talk to you about your influences and how you were drawn by pro wrestling. And because we've seen you multiple times at Shakara in Northeast, and it's just... your matches, the quality is great. I mean, it's so much fun to watch you perform. And we just watched you face Deanna. What, 2 weeks ago?
Last weekend.
This weekend it will be 2 weeks.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah. So we were there, and that was a great match. So
you whipped her butt.
So, I mean, where did the... did the interest come from? How'd you get started in just liking professional wrestling?
So like no one in my family's into it.
It's a good start.
I'm just gonna set you up. Mm-hmm. Super romantic start. My older boy cousins that were like my brothers, they were into it for like a hot second. Mainly because I'm basically the same height as I was as a 5-year-old. So I took all the moves. You know, all the power bombs and all the, like, you know, gorilla presses and all that.
Nice.
So that was really fun. And then, like, you know, you get into it, but then, like, you're the only one, so then you're, like, out of it for a while. Just to touch on it, working with Deanna Perrazzo was fantastic and a lot of fun. I had a good time, like, in the ring. Like, every moment I was like, I could just do this for a long time. Like, I just keep going.
Just like an Iron Woman match.
I have like 15 minutes, but
we would have watched you for another 45
easy.
Oh, thank you. I'm very flattered. Were you guys able to catch the WWR show after?
Unfortunately not. I had a prior engagement to I had to help my wife with something, so we couldn't stay, but we were planning on it, and then something kind of just popped up, so unfortunately not.
There's a very conventional happy wife phrase.
Yeah, absolutely. There,
so. Happy wife, like happy life.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
That's not what we say over in the great Northern Ireland, though. They say happy steer, happy it. Beer.
Oh, my God. Currently at the moment, I'm at Closet Champion, where we're on a bit of Popsy here, fun. So I'm actually talking to you guys on my 15 right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
As I make a bunch of stuff, which is really fun.
Oh,
not
wow.
That I have 15 minutes, but just saying, it's really fun. So I also enjoy that aspect of professional wrestling. The costumes, the gear, as we call it, bright colors, and shiny spandex. It's also been known as sparkly underwear. I really dig that one. I really like that, called sparkly underwear. That was very charming growing up, to see like tassels and glitter and fur kind of everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, right? Not only that,
sounds like my regular Tuesday night.
Casual Tuesday.
With growing up and the time that and we are all the same age as you are. So growing up, the time we were all growing up is you didn't really have a lot of influences as far as women wrestlers, legitimate women wrestlers who would put on long matches. So, I mean, where did that come from as far as, I mean, just the men and wanting to be like, I can do that no matter what?
Yeah, I don't really think I see, like, the gender of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then with comic books, right, I always loved Black Cat. I think she's a total hottie. way over Mary Jane. So, you know, if I see something, I just, like, oh, I want to do that. Or, like, you know, I didn't really think of it as a woman. And we have so many comic book movies that have come out as of late that is great for, like, a younger generation to kind of see, like, everyone can play with everyone.
Yes.
And it's kind of about, like, how you hang, which is, you know, I love intergender wrestling. I love getting to be a part of a conversation that is, you know, I get to wrestle this person based on, like, they have these sets of moves. They have these special abilities, right? Like, in Street Fighter, nobody questions Chun-Li. They just throw her in there. Because you want spinning bird kick, like, super hard.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see it, right? Like,
it's a very good reference.
Thank you. There was a time where I would hustle people. That time is not today, but there was a time. I'd be like, what? I've never played before. And just, like, hide my collection. Marvel vs. Capcom was always my favorite for those. So...
So you kind of, like, led on for my next question was, have you ever been in an intergender match, which you just answered, which was good on your end. So we wanted to further on the point of what you think of the evolution, WWE's announcement, or what you feel about the actual evolution might have been way before this point in time. Can you touch on that for us?
So that's, like, a loaded gun of a question, right? Mm-hmm.
That's why I asked it.
To try and keep myself focused, right? Like, I kind of see it as, like, multiple spheres that, like, kind of extrapolate everything. So if we take it down to the indies, right? Like, there have been intergender matches for X amount of time.
Yeah.
Probably into the territories. I tried to look up a bunch of information on, like, that particular history, but it came up non-conclusive. Although I will admit, maybe I suck at Google, so, like, I could totally work on that too and come back to you. Right, so that's been going on a while, but how credible it is, you know, that argument where it's like, oh, well, can't hit a woman, like, that to me is, like, crazy talk, because, like, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about two individuals that want to get in the ring and compete.
And entertain.
And entertain and perform and... Mm-hmm. You know, and do the whole nine. So I feel like if you're suspending your disbelief, which, mind you, to everyone out there that was on the ride with me where I wore a tail and got a sugar high off of a giant magical drink that came from the Enchanted Forest, I feel like you could also get in there and watch two humans compete, because I could lift boys and throw them.
Yeah,
I believe it.
And my close friends, Jordan Grace, can super lift boys and throw them.
I definitely
and so I feel
that.
Like your gender has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what it is, whether, I mean, it's two guys, two women, mixing it up, if the two people are talented, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you're going to put on a good match regardless. And it really, I don't understand why it's taking, well, at least WWE, long. As long as it has, like you said, the independents have been doing it for a while now. I mean, just for them to be that slow and behind the eight ball, but it is a good step for a lot of young girls watching the WWE and a lot of exposure to see, well, hey, they're having their own pay-per-view. There's no boys. It's just all the women. They get their time. So, I mean, it's good in both sense.
Yeah. And I think that's amazing. I think, you know, having that all-women's pay-per-view is going to be a blast. I'm so happy for everyone on there, people that I've had the pleasure of working with or being around while they, you know, come through. And those that, you know, maybe I came in a second too late and they went ahead, I'm really happy for them. Like, that's a moment in history that's going to get marked. So that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and also I wanted to ask you, I've obviously doing a little research on you, that you wrestled in OVW for a short stint.
Oh, this, yeah.
It's a touchy subject, is it?
I was going to say, do you want me to back off that?
No, I just, so I've been around the business, including my college years, where I was not, in it, I would say, dedicated, right? Like, I would go to college and then, you know, maybe come back and do a little bit of a stint. So around the business, this will be my 10th year.
Okay.
And so all the things I have sweat over and bled over and worked really hard over to really reform and get in the best shape of my career and really make moves forward, you know, that's been in the latter part of the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
OVW was not my favorite time. It's how I started, and that will always be a part of my story.
Mm-hmm.
I do get asked that on podcasts about it, because I do believe some people have, you know, that kind of fondness for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Those stupid podcasts.
Yeah. I don't have a fondness for it. Sorry if I'm kind of like, you know, setting fires around us. OVW made me quit several times.
That's wow. Okay. We're wearing flame retardant outfits. Set all the fires you want.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
That's just what we wear on Thursdays.
Here. Did it give me a hide? Sure. Did I need to build one in the way that I was treated there? Absolutely not. Would I want what I went through to happen to anyone else? No. Am I very sad that what's happened to me in the past there has happened to other girls that have come through? I am very sad, and I hope that they are doing, like, way better. OVW is its own little bubble that I kind of wish would implode. But
wow. We are sorry for bringing that up. I didn't.
No, not at all. I'm very cool with it. I really love being a part of it as a whole, like independent wrestling as a whole. And sometimes you go through things in life, and it just builds that character in your story.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a part of the greater arc.
Yeah,
and a lot from it. So.
Okay, well, to push past that, why don't we start talking about the latter part, the present, the future. Now, your training, that was that mostly done at Shikara for the latter?
So, like, there's this, like, weird bubble that I kind of love, and also, like, I kind of feel like I want to go out there and, like make the school bigger, but we do have a lot of students right now, so when I trained a little bit and, like, ran away, and then I moved from Kentucky to Florida, there was no real, like, training. I did have the pleasure of learning for some wonderful women down there that took time to teach me things I didn't get to learn at OVW, right? I was pushed through way too fast. And that happens to a lot of girls, though. And girls that have heart and want to do it, right? But then you're not shown how. So imagine getting into an industry where there's no real, like, you go to college after high school. Like, there's none of that. You just kind of, like, go. And if you have a look about you or a presence about you, that's all well and good, but then sometimes you just get rushed through the process without knowing, hey man, you're doing a headlock wrong, right? Like, there's no like stopping that, and you just like wind up on shows that way. And it's fascinating to me, and I'm sure this happens in other forms of entertainment. And so for years I learned on the go, like, we're having a match, how do I do this? I'm learning it before the show, and then like I'd go out there and do it. And so I learned via whatever shows I was on, and the girls were just amazing enough to help me along the way. And then I got to go to House of Truth and train there for a little bit. He had a 7-week, 8-week course there. So I was living in Queens, and then I would travel to Detroit, and then I would just do that back and forth until, like, you know, the program was ended. And it was amazing. He's one of my favorite teachers of all time. He takes the moment-to-moment detail with you. He really gets down to, like, your footing, the way you're standing, your posture, like, all the little micro details that sometimes just get overlooked. Like, yeah, sure, that's a good takeover, right? Like, you know, we've seen 1,000 of them.
Well, wait, one second, not to cut you off. Is this our truth? Like, as in, is that the truth? Is that what you're talking about? You said he...
Truth Martini.
What?
Truth Martini from Ring of Honor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like the...
Yes, gotcha. Okay. Much better. Okay. Keep going.
yeah, Truth Martini is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever everybody asks me, you know, like, oh, where can I go to school? It depends on where you are. If you want to... Like, I always recommend the Wrestle Factory. And I always recommend the House of Truth because those two schools together brought me to where I am today. And I currently have trained at the Wrestle Factory now for a couple of years.
Yeah, it seems like we've gone to many shows, most of the time back to back to back weekends because you guys run them all the time, and it's just a fun, intimate, like place to watch wrestling. Like it's great. It's like down home, like roots. It's amazing. Even though it's that small little space, it's great to watch a wrestling event there.
I love, like, the studio feel of it. Like, I love the intimate audience. It feels like home to me. I love it. I love training there, all of it.
Well, leading up to that, training there, you do have a match this weekend, correct?
Mm-hmm. I do. This is true. I made a video, and I was very pumped to take time to learn Final Cut Pro with Ophidian's help to make this video, which I have a lot of fun doing those types of promos to gear up towards big matches. I've had an incredible time kind of sinking myself into the work and getting to work with the Rumblebees and, you know, just the entire story that's happening and getting the 3 points and getting to challenge Juan is awesome. I'm super pumped. I'm working out like every day, so I'm also super tired. I don't know what sleep is. I've just finished New Gear, so like that's cool and fun. Nice. I can't help myself.
So we're gonna get a bunch of debuts on Saturday. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Nice.
So this is gonna be a special event.
Yeah, definitely. And you guys are going to be in-house, right?
Like absolutely, yeah.
Oh, we're going to be there.
For sure.
Yeah, we got to take a picture then. It's going to be awesome! Yeah, it's hard to stack. at concessions, there's like new cookies, and there is a Solo Darling cookie that I'm really excited about because it's also super delicious!
Have you had one or two before this podcast?
Look, I'm not going to lie, mainly because I'm terrible at it. Like, I'm, like, the worst liar.
It's actually a good trait to have.
I take a lot of those cookies. Like, I buy them, but, like, I do take a lot of those cookies. Like, oh, man, you don't want to travel with those. Like, you don't want to travel with those. I do.
No, they'll go stale.
Like, yeah, you baked them. Like, I got it. Why don't you just put them over here in my knapsack next to my little Officer Magnums, and, like, we're good.
So, another question we have is...
Solo Darling, Cookie Thief, check.
Yeah, right. It's it's all a work until, like, my doctor's like, listen, we need to check you for diabetes. I'm like, what? Like, right after my birthday, he was like, we gotta take a test here. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I swear, I only have one a day.
It's just one sugar rush a match for however many years that was.
The question I had was, you and Travis were a tag team.
Correct.
And I mean, what do you prefer? Do you like the tag team? Do you like being singles instead?
Yo, I love tagging.
Okay.
I get super into it. Like, domestic girlfriend into it, but like in a totally platonic tag team work type of way. Like, I love it. Like, yo, let me make you a binder with 8x10s. Like, yo, like, we should probably get some t-shirts. Like, I get super into it, and I love the dynamic and the fun ways you can play with that, because now you have more players, right? Like, now you have 4 people in the ring, crazy spots to do, crazy stories to tell, interactions, so you just get more colors when you're painting, right?
Gotcha. Yeah,
so I do enjoy that, but I also, like, my name is Solo.
Yeah.
Like, I've been Solo for, like, forever. So, like, I'm also having a great time doing that. So if I showed up to work and they were like, you're in this tag match, I'd be like, all right, well, here's this thing. And also, I want to take this really gross bump to the floor. But if they were like, you're doing a singles match, I'm like, great. Is there something I can hang off of before I fall to the floor? Well, my wrestling today, is today the day I get thrown out by a gorilla press? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. So either way, I'm having a good time.
It's all in a day's work. It's all in a day's work.
Right. Does anyone have ibuprofen? It's totally cool.
I need a rock star. I need a sugar cookie. And I need some ibuprofen. Stat.
with my tongue out, just like laying on the floor, like, just pour it on top of her. It's fine. And then she'll get it. It's just, don't worry about it. It'll go in the pores.
So,
you guys get one with me. Officer Magnum has to deal with me all the time.
So right now we'll move a little bit away from pro wrestling. Just find out and to ask you some fun questions. You said you moved from Kentucky to Florida.
Everywhere.
Is Kentucky where you're from?
Ah, son. I'm originally from the Bronx.
Okay.
That's where the Enchanted Forest is. I'm sorry, everyone. Break it down. The Enchanted Forest is the Bronx, New York.
Okay.
What was that, like the... some sort of casino name or something then?
No, it's just like you just really want to see the beauty in the world. That's a Westworld reference because I'm super into it. I really dig that kind of like fairy tale, you know, like Renaissance fairs and fairies and fairy doors, like all that. So I wanted to be from like a different place.
That sounds like a forest
in the Bronx.
Sounds like a pretty sweet outfit idea, a little medieval times outfit gear.
I know someone that is like a pro at doing that stuff. Yeah.
I think
it's not me. I learned from the master.
Since you brought that up and the Enchanted Forest and all that, I forgot to ask, I know in the past you've wore the tail and the ears and all. What made you leave that to go to, I mean, just the regular attire that you wear now?
Okay. All right. Okay. is this edited or is this just going to go straight up? Are we up right now? Like, is this going to be edited?
I mean, edited as far as...
We use that term loosely.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
you're pretty much going to get the whole shebang here.
Yeah, we basically record and put it up. There's not a lot that we cut out. But you can say whatever you want, if that's what you're asking.
Yes. Oh, that's good and bad. I'm not offended if you haven't. Have you seen the last video I posted for this Swan Badge?
The one where you're sitting by the fire?
It's true, yes, and that's in my apartment complex. I love that fire.
Yes, yeah, I actually just watched that like an hour ago, so yes, I have.
That quote that goes up
mm-hmm.
is real.
Oh, okay.
That's real. That's from a site where they like rate wrestlers, and like I'm totally not hurt about it, but it does feel a certain way where I created this character based off of the things that I hold true to myself, right? I created the squirrel girl-esque sugar creature because I know how hard it is to get up in the morning sometimes. I am just like you and you and you, where sometimes you want to lay there and maybe it's just too much, and maybe it's hard, and maybe, like, yo, you really need orange juice, but you have $3. Like, all of those things are real, and we all deal with them, and I wanted to give a different flavor to what you see in a full show. And how does that work in it? My only thing was I didn't have a school I was training regularly with, so I desperately wanted to do more, and I was always open to more. But the character, I guess, didn't have a big enough arsenal to move forward. And that tail became a bit of a limiting factor, but I still hold it very revere, right? Anything that's created within your ego is something that you hold close to you because it's forefront to something that you've put heart into. I bet we can all relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Chikara. Like, I wanted it. I heard it enough times being the squirrel girl that, like, yo, your character would be perfect there. And I'm like, I mean, of course I feel that way inside, but I'm going to tell you that. So I found a seminar, and I went just to be like, hey, I do this thing, and I made this thing, and this is what I'm called. And we sorted it out where I'd come to training. Hmm. And then the discussion was, all right, so we have this thing available, this story we want to tell here. You won't have the tail. And, like, I froze. And I was like, I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know what to do with my hands when I put them. That's where the claws come from. No, just kidding. freeze, make claws. And so once I thought about it, I said, I know exactly what to do. There's someone that I feel very closely to, and there is a story to tell with her. And they gave me the opportunity to tell this story, which is at Shimmer, where Lufisto is turning heel. And she calls me out, and she's like, "You can't wrestle. Look at you. You're all gimmicks." And she breaks my cup, and then she breaks the lollipop, and I still laugh at it when she throws it. Like, the ring is so amazing that it just bounced, and like the ball, like, you know, the ball of the lollipop, the magic lollipop I had, just like almost goes in the crowd, and like like, she just breaks my toys, right? My things that kind of make that creature operate.
Yeah.
And then she cuts my tail off, like, for real, cuts it off, and that allows me to evolve into a more waspious creature.
Hmm.
That allows me to fill the shoes that I've always wanted to fill, but felt a certain way that you need to present the certain a certain show, right? If you are under a mask and you are a certain character, you are then expected to fill a certain role. And so there's always been things that are my favorite, and that character is always very much me. You always got, like, the closest version to me, right? I would try to do what I can, barring my learning of comedic timing, which, trust me, I'm still working on that. but as this iteration as well, you're also getting 1,000% me. Like, all of it is my artistic expression to show that, like, I'm just where you guys are at. We're all in this together. So this story arc for me has been really enjoyable. To get to the work in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, for those who didn't see the video, which I believe Joe has not seen it, but you put up this...
Way to throw me under the bus.
Sorry.
That's fine. I'm just putting the tire marks off you.
So they put up this quote that you're talking about, and it basically says that Solo has no athletic talent when it comes to wrestling. And it's a pretty cold quote when you read it. And but like you said, I mean, the video was great, sitting in front of the fire with holding the picture. It was well done. So I mean, it got me right away. Like, I got, and then you start with the training, and it's great, and it's a good lead up to Saturday's event.
I'm really excited for it. I really have fun, kind of like getting pumped for the matches, just the way anyone does when they're going to buy a ticket for it. Like, oh, I want to see this concert, and then you get revved for it. If I knew I'm wrestling certain people, like, I get really hyped too. Like, that's a part of it. That's a part of performing and, you know, getting to the gym, right? Like, we're going to the gym for a million different reasons. We're going to training for a million different reasons, but who's my opponent? Boxers think of it, right? Like, they train a certain way. MMA fighters, they think of it a certain way, but this small yet insanely large universe that we live in also operates a certain way, and knowing that Juan's my opponent with the Coronado Clutch when I have the Sharp Stinger, to me, is very exciting and excites my imagination in a new way. Whereas when we're kids and we watch, like, oh my god, is Brett gonna be able to take, you know, everyone with the sharpshooter? Is that a real thing? I think of it in a different way now, but that same kind of excitement.
Yeah.
And so that video for me, I had been thinking of for a long time, like, how am I going to do it? I want to do something special for it. And then in between, maybe smaller videos, but I do love kind of like sitting down and like getting clips of stuff and putting that together. It's another way for me to try and express, because I used to write a lot. I used to, you know, just journal it up. But instead, I put that energy now into these types of things.
Nice. So, I mean, it was well done, well put together, and a way to fire yourself up and fire people up to see the match.
I had a quick question for you.
Oh, make it slow.
Okay. I had a question about the coin system and how that came about and what that means. And for all of our listeners out there that might not understand why you have a title shot and what three coins means.
I'll do my best.
Okay, that's all I ask.
So, in Chikara, when you win a match as a singles wrestler, you get a point. When you win a match as a tag team, you get a point. When you collect 3 points, which you can do in tournaments, or you get a golden opportunity in an infinite gauntlet where you win the whole thing, you can then use that to challenge for a title. And I have collected 3 points using the bioelectric blast, and I plan on cashing that in Saturday goes, I'm a Russell Juan. And he don't know because he's about to catch these legs.
What? I saw you hashtag that and I couldn't stop laughing. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It's a well-marketed...
You'll know about the day at the office when well, you see how they catch these legs.
It's a well-marketed gimmick.
Yes.
I smell merch.
So, since you brought up and you said Brett, who was your favorite wrestler when you did watch?
Brett, Malenko, Guerrero, Jericho.
Wait a second. I'm going to stop you right there. Does that mean you're a WCW fan?
I don't really like side to a brand.
Oh.
It's like I'll follow the person.
Okay.
But those are all WCW besides Brett.
Well, yeah, besides Brett.
Yeah, they've dabbled, though. Some of those people have dabbled. He's
only saying that because he was a big WCW fan. That's why. And he wanted you on his side because I'm a WWE guy.
That's fine. I feel like they both have their strengths. You like, I don't really have great balance, but I do on this fence I'm riding. How do you like that?
I can't really read unless it's backwards. Something like that.
That's impressive. Really, you should. Next time you get pulled over by a cop, like, you need to, like, use that. Like, lead with that.
Just completely confuse them so I get beat up?
Right. You know how many tickets I've gotten out of because, like, I would just ride places in my gear? Like, I'm on my way to a show or I'm in between shows and I just beat in gear?
Yeah, they're like, I don't want to screw with this girl. What the hell is she wearing?
Right. Just slow down and be careful. And now it's like you're crazy superhero outfit, right? And then there's like Officer Magnum chilling too. What I really want to do is get pulled over with enough time to put him in the driver's seat in cop outfit, and then like handcuff myself in the back. Like,
don't worry, she's already taken care of, officer.
Right. That's really like, I just need to figure out how quick I can do that. And if I could get a camera, I'm not going to do it if I can't film it.
There's a thing as a GoPro. I think you're good.
Right. Don't mind the guy sitting next to Officer Magnum. He's just our camera guy. It's just casual.
All right, so I think we're basically going to wrap it up. We want to thank you for being a guest, and we look forward to Saturday night, Northeast Philly, Shikara at the Wrestle Factory. Solo Darling versus Juan Francisco.
Francisco de Coronado.
Thank you. For the Grand Championship, it's gonna be a great event as always. It is at Shikara, and again, thank you so much for taking the time out and just talking with us and talking a little wrestling.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to seeing you guys. Let's take pictures. I look forward to seeing everyone that's coming. Feel free to follow me at Solo Darling on Twitter for all the shenanigans. And if you're on Instagram and want to see more shenanigans with Officer Magnum, it'd be at Regulation Solo Darling. Absolute pleasure, guys.
All right. Thank you so much. And yes, we'll see you on Saturday.
Dang, we did that in unison. Did you hear that?
Yes. We've never done that before. That's a first.
You guys.
I know. We always surprise ourselves. We're that good.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Alrighty-dighty-dighty-dighty-dighty-dighty-dighty-dighty-day. Good day, mateys.
You are all over the place with those accents. Well, that was our interview with Solo
Darling. I know you are,
but
what am I?
With Solo Darling from Chikara at the Wrestle Factory.
She called me out of my accents.
She did. We were.
I had to prove her right.
We were literally getting ready to talk to her. I hit it on Skype as Joe was saying something, and all of a sudden went Irish. And just as she answers,
if you listen to the show, you know it's bound to happen. I'm bound to throw on a crazy accent.
So she makes sure to ask. Wait,
that was
when we started. Was someone doing an Irish accent? So yep, that was Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So then he promised work it into the show. And
I'm not ashamed of it at all. It came out.
That's what you got.
It sounded like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. I don't know. It sounded some Irish a little bit.
Some Irish is good enough for me.
So.
A slap at the bass.
That that was one of the more fun interviews I remember ever doing. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, of the seven that we've done, of all the seven,
she was a lot of fun to have.
Absolutely,
and
I was not expecting the energy.
No, it was great.
And the philosophy and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I kind of feel bad I hit a hot button topic. I felt bad I brought that up. I didn't know that was going to get that reaction.
Yeah, you had the hot button topic and you threw me under the bus. Team player. Why don't you take off the white wig and stop judging?
I'm sorry about that. But anyway, I had to take some fire off me. So we once again thank Solo for doing this and taking the time out. And we just wanted to touch on our Twitter topics for this week.
Yeah, we'll finish off this interview special with our topic questions because we're selfish.
Yeah, why not? It's our show. We do what we want. So let's start out with the one that you put out there on Monday.
The one?
The one.
The only. But not in this case. There's two.
So,
take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Make sure you get it all in there.
I'm going to.
Stretch. Do your calisthenics. Come on.
I think we have enough time for all that. But anyway, the rumor mill is churning with talks of Matt Riddle signing with NXT.
It's a churning the butter.
WWE. That being said, who are some of the wrestlers you wouldn't want WWE to sign? And why? So, what's yours?
You know what?
Before we start.
I was thinking about this actually today while I was driving home from work. If it's your dream to work for the WWE, then if that's what you dreamt about as a kid and that was your dream, you just so happened to become crazy popular before you even got there, but that was your initial dream to get there.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that because you get so many people nowadays saying fill in the blank deserves better. If that's their dream to work for the WWF, WWE, then they did it. It doesn't matter what they're really doing with them. They're working for the WWE. They're still getting to say that they wrestled for the WWE. So if every independent wrestler that had that dream to get there gets there, then all comers.
Wait, would you listen to Mr. Pessimist all the time? Mr. Negative. And now takes the politically correct answer and just doesn't even pick it when it's his question.
Oh, did I throw you through a loop today?
Right, come on, you got to bring it back. Mr. Negative has to go. Who would you believe that WWE would ruin so you don't want them to go there?
Oh, he's trying to trick me, is he? Mm-hmm. But does he know I got my lucky charms? Uh-huh. I'm slapping my own base. Oh, that went British on you. Oh, don't worry. It'll turn Chinese in a minute.
Anyway, answer.
Of all the Bucks.
Yes.
The Bucks would be the only ones.
That was the answer I was looking for.
The only ones that I wouldn't want to see there. But it's a selfish answer because let me lead into it with a response that I had. Because that's going to sum it up a lot better than I'm going to mumble.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
This is from Super Kicking It with Kelsey at Super Kicking It. People say Young Bucks have done everything there is to do outside WWE. What more can they do? After they win the Raw and SmackDown titles a few times, can't you say the same thing if they were in WWE? Meanwhile, there is no limit to what they can do if they stay outside the WWE. And
very true.
If you're one of these iconic either singles star or tag team wrestlers that have done everything that you think of, but there's so many, she's right. Once you get to the WWE, you're going to, break a record or something? Like, you had the most consecutive days doing this, or you won the titles X amount of times. But you could say that you main evented the first ever this, the first ever that.
All else, in.
Exactly. Yep. Stuff like that, because all these things that, how many more first evers in the WWE are they going to... I almost went angle on you.
I heard it.
I apologize. I caught myself kind of. I'm sure you listening out there will think otherwise, but shut your holes.
You got it.
Threw myself off? Never. Never happens here.
The amount of firsts in WWE, how many are left?
There's not many firsts that are left.
Yeah, you're right.
They're breaking all records right now. I mean, down the line, years and years from now, they'll be, okay, this they've broken this, they've broken that, but there's not too many firsts left.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So
now what the hell are you laughing at?
I'm surprised you said broken without doing the laugh.
I'm on my recliner of chairs.
We're kind of like Pee-wee's Playhouse when it comes to that. Like, someone says broken and you instantly go. Wow. It's like our word.
What's the word of the day? Broken.
Okay.
Yes. Never ever again will I be able to do that. And I'm wondering why I'm fucking lightheaded all the time.
With a case of vertigo.
Yeah, no, it was equilibrium all
whatever.
Fucked up.
Either way, you're not be able to stand.
Yeah, I'm not going to get up for a couple minutes.
No.
Anyway, next one is from Chibs at Chibi Halloween. Oh, that was creative. The list is Pentagon Jr., Phoenix, Sonata, Evil, KAS, G.O.D., the entire Bullet Club. Reasons, for starters, they have forgotten what good tag team booking is. They could never replicate dominance swagger teams like KIS, GOD, or LIJ have. They could never show Pentagon breaking his opponent's arms. It looks and feels as if they don't care about the theatrics of an entrance anymore. Most entrances lack the wow factor nowadays that make you go, holy shit, whoop. That's a curse. It's a good thing that's allowed on this show. I need to watch this guy, woman. Guy slash woman.
Nice.
Not a guy, woman. But you never know. Try to find entrances like the ones named above in today's WWE. They would never agree with Yohiro Takahashi's character of being a pimp and bringing hot chicks to the ring. Mark Scroll breaking fingers. Their luchador style is just a shame when you look at their other companies as a conclusion. Now, there's a lot to take in there,
yeah.
And I might not have read it perfectly because sometimes I don't do that. But to get the point is they feel like WWE's creative will hinder a lot of these stars.
Which I think is the populace's...
If you look at Tama Tonga right now, who's dropping F-bombs and bitches mm-hmm. and asses, and he's fake cocking his wrist and fist...
Mm-hmm.
Wrist fist.
Not to mention the Twitter feud that him and Roman
have now
are
had,
in the middle of.
If he gets to... He's going to have to clean up his whole badass imagery. He's not going to be a badass anymore by calling people a butthead. You poopy licker. You fart smeller. It's going to be like freaking Sandlot.
Yes.
You play ball like a girl.
Can't say that today, though. With equality and all. That's all
yeah.
I'm saying. But... I mean, no, I agree. PG for a guy like Tomko, or I mean, any of the Jericho with his character,
his
yeah.
new persona. At,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, New Japan. I mean, you're allowed to do it.
Exactly. But no,
so he's like, screw it. Why not?
Yeah.
I'm gonna drop some F bombs,
and I don't blame him.
I'm gonna beat the shit out of Naito.
So, mine would be, since you already took the Bucks, I'm not gonna say the Bucks again. Mine would be Omega. I think they would ruin Omega as well. I think Omega's... He's the best wrestler in the world, and...
Here's the thing. I'm going to throw this... They didn't ruin Styles, and Styles is one of the best wrestlers in the world. They didn't.
You're right. No, you're right.
They didn't ruin Rollins. He's one of the best wrestlers.
Well, that's because they created Rollins. They created what Rollins is.
They created Seth Rollins, but they didn't create AJ Styles. They didn't create Daniel Bryan. They gave him the platform. So if you give Omega the American platform...
All right. With those, there's CM Punk. They completely ruined CM Punk. They would,
would never
let Punk be who they had him the way they wanted him, and even
Punk,
then he was better.
Punk was in the wrong era of wrestling.
You're right. Absolutely. He should have been now.
Although, yeah, he should have been now, but he's just got the ego that which locker room will he gel well with?
Mm-hmm.
Will he gel the best with? Because the previous ones hadn't worked, so you would think that this one, he would rule it.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
But not to further myself from what I was talking about, is that I don't think that it would ruin Omega. It's not that type of personality. He'd be in there with the best
wrestlers that he hasn't wrestled yet. I feel like,
as long as he's on SmackDown, because what are they gonna, how are they gonna feature him on Raw when you're just doing Brock Lesnar and Roman for 8, 9, 10 times?
I don't think that's gonna be a forever thing. I'm not gonna say that I don't think that this feud isn't gonna be a forever thing, or that they're gonna have shit booking on Raw as a forever thing. But I think that they're gonna get back to the wrestling aspect as it gets closer to a couple of the other big pay per views,
like SummerSlam. Probably not.
No.
Okay.
No, they're
just checking.
Their feuds are still a little iffy. Yeah.
Speaking of SummerSlam,
sure.
For my topic question, with WWE announcing the KO vs. Braun match at SummerSlam, do you believe that Strowman needs the briefcase, or would it be better for KO?
Considering I didn't think Strowman should have, I picked him to win, but I didn't think he should have won the original Money in the Bank briefcase. I'm pretty sure we both wanted KO to win it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you already know my answer then.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and both our answer, it's the same thing. We really want KO to have it.
KO, here's the thing. You've got Strowman as this unbeatable monster. I get it. Don't put him in the freaking Money in the Bank, because you know he's still going to be this unbeatable monster.
Yes.
He doesn't need it. If he's unbeatable, he doesn't need the briefcase.
You're right. Exactly.
He can
that's,
beat
that's
people.
That's my point.
He can beat people up to get there.
Yeah.
KO may not need it if he's put in the right booking, but with it, the booking writes itself.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm going to go to the first one, and it's AJ at Bear Hugger URA. I don't know if it's
URA?
URA or literally URA. It looks like they use capital, so it looks like maybe it is URA.
Or it's a loud URA. URA! URA!
Anywho.
Proceed.
They start with, I'm happy with either of them holding it, but having KO win it from him gives KO something to do. He's basically floundering right now.
Like a fish.
In the writing with no clear direction.
Smell that? It's fish. No, it's freedom. Okay, it's freedom.
Watching him do fake cash-ins like Carmella would be hilarious.
But it's fish.
On the other hand, I'd love to have Braun cash in, if only to be able to see the title on TV on the regular, finally. Which, yeah, with either one of these guys,
anything
that's
on the
case.
Regular. Huh? Always on the regular.
Yeah, always on the regular. Anyway,
why did you repeat that? Like I was doing, like I was saying something really important.
In my head, I thought you were leading somewhere with that, but I guess you just left it there. That's the best part about these two, is because these two will be on TV all the time, and they're going to be there and have the title all the time. But unfortunately, I think the plan is to put it on Roman
and keep it on Roman.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think this.
I can't
that
see anybody.
Kind of irrelevant,
I can't see anybody not named Roman Reigns putting that title on in a little while. If you don't want Brock, you're getting Roman.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah, you're right.
And then maybe you'll get Strowman once, but Roman's going to take it right back.
So the next one is from Mina, M-I-N-A, Mina Rantizzi. And it is at M-R-A-N-T-I-S-I-M. And it says, KO would be much more entertaining with the briefcase. He plays the true heel great when given the chance. Strowman doesn't need it. He can just get a match and win at any time. Which, exactly. That's, I mean, down bare bones exactly what it is. Strowman can just is going to be able to do whatever
Imagine
he wants.
Imagine if Strowman tries to cash in on Reigns and Reigns beats him. He fends him off.
Oh, God. That would be so bad. That'd be so bad.
Act like it couldn't happen.
Oh, well, no. I completely agree. It definitely could. But the last one is from Jason Broadwell.
Born.
No, not born. Broadwell.
Damn it.
And he says, please let KO take it. Creatively, he's been in a rut since Sammy got hurt. Giving him the briefcase forces them to give him meaningful storylines and segments. Braun is so over.
It doesn't force anything.
Well.
You just have to hope.
Braun is so over, he doesn't need it. He could fall on a cash-in attempt and still be loved by all the fans. Fail, I'm sorry, I said fall. Fail on a
he could fall
attempt.
Too. They still love him
and still be loved by all the fans.
As long as you catch those hands while he falls.
it all leads to the same point that most people believe that. I mean, I think a lot of people want Strowman to have it and don't want KO just because they love Strowman so much. But you got to look at it from a storyline vantage point, and who can just instantly get over with nothing. don't need anything to get over. Even though Kevin Owens is like that, but at
I think KO can get over without having to do much. Just put him in something better than this.
Yeah, but as of this point right now, he's been a little stagnant, so the Money in the Bank would help him, like you said. It would enhance him even better.
And his tease for a cash-in is going to be a lot better than Strowman's I'm just cashing in and winning.
And yeah, and beating the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and the last thing about that match is when KO was standing on the ramp Monday night and standing there, and he really started to get fired up. That's why I put the tweet out there. I hope Owens goes completely batshit crazy and beats the hell out of Braun. Like, goes nuts, blacks out of his mind, kind of, because that's the only way it would be believable as far as Braun, because Braun really hasn't gotten beaten down. You know what I mean? That's what I would want to see. You want Kevin Owens to take his character to a different level than what he's already been. And that's what I'm kind of hoping to make this match competitive anyway.
They need to put a stipulation on the match?
I don't know if you necessarily need...
If he beats the shit out of him with... Like, he's gonna need weapons
You're
to
right.
beat the shit
No,
out
absolutely,
of him.
Yes. But, yeah,
that's
I
just
mean,
where my mind goes. Of course, weapons in a match doesn't really favor Kevin Owens either, though.
Correct. Yeah, I mean... You'd really have to...
You're in the ring with a fucking weapon.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that
He's a master at a grappling hook, so you're fucking screwed. Good guy could throw a grappling hook like 40 feet, no try.
Yeah.
And then hook a fucking stage barrier and pull it the fuck down. That was still unbelievable when I saw that.
It was impressive. It was very well done.
Where do you get a grappling hook? In the back of a fucking studio? Like, what are they doing back there that they need those?
Who's
sitting in the back like, oh, we got to put together the fucking set. Oh, the drapes are fucking caught all the way at the top. How do we get them down? I don't feel like climbing a ladder right now. Oh, grab the grappling hook. Grab it and we can throw it up there and catch it. That's exactly how it goes down.
Somehow I don't think it is exactly like that.
That's how I envision it, and I know I'm usually wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm wrong.
Yeah. So, we just wanted to fit those in and get
Hello?
Our Twitter questions.
Is it me you're listening to?
Where the hell did that
Can
come from?
Can you hear me in your ears? Can you feel me in your heart? I just wanted to whisper, hello.
You are in a weird-ass mood today.
I'm in rare form.
Obviously.
Yes.
Weird-ass move.
No, I think everyone's going to enjoy that. To end the show?
Sure.
You're going to tell me they didn't want to be serenaded? Like, they just got done a long day of work, and they're listening, and they're like, oh, man, this is a really good episode. There's a lot of shit that was happening. And then that hits, and like, oh, that was the perfect ending. Ruined the perfect ending.
What if it's first thing in the morning? I don't know if I want to hear that first thing in the morning.
I'm pretty sure they're going to hear that and be like, well, now my day's starting off right. Give me the OJ. Give me
you
the
have,
waffles.
You have no ego whatsoever. None.
No.
None whatsoever.
Let go my ego.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So.
You see what I did there? Waffles.
Mm-hmm. For this episode of Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, we gave you everything we had on this one.
It's coming to a close. And
was it enough? We'll never know.
We hope you enjoyed the interview with Solo Darling, and follow her on Twitter. And if you can, and you can see a Shikara event, and you can come to Philadelphia and see it, it's definitely worth it.
Let us know. If you're coming to Philly, you're coming to Shikara. We'll meet you down there. We love it down there.
Yeah. So we hope you enjoyed the interview, the Twitter questions, and that about wraps it up. So we will be talking to you very soon, and I guess that's it.
Latest on the men, Jay.